When we talk about Jesus, we can't talk about him as a topic or as a discussion topic or something that we're talking about this morning. We're talking about a person that is bringing us good news. And my prayer is that as we talk about this morning, we're going to focus on Jesus this morning. And my prayer is that as we look towards Jesus this morning, that it will be a good news to each one of us here this morning, like it was to him this morning. But jy moes jou hart oop gehad het vir die Here, né? You had to have your heart open. You had to open up this area and give the Lord an opportunity to work in that area. You had to have that expectation. You had to have that belief that Jesus can heal you. Otherwise, nothing would have happened. Né? And so we're going to talk about Jesus this morning. Het jy my bringie gekry, honoring Jesus? Ek het vergeet om vir Caleb my skrifte te gee. Well done, jou vinnige man. So we're going to, last week was just a service out of this world. The way that the Lord moved during worship, when people started giving one another prophetic words, and then we prayed for people in front here, and then the Lord came and through the word just ignited something in our hearts, and seeing how the Lord shifted hearts, the people came afterwards and said, I'm seeing the Lord in a different light after 40 years of serving Him, and in my own heart even, in preparing, honoring God and honoring the Father, just gained such a momentum in my own heart last week. It was something that I just, for the first time in a long while, it's fresh and it's new. And it was beautiful, but it's one of those things you had to be there, I guess. You can listen to the word, but the word was part of it. It wasn't just the word. It was everything that the Lord, there was an atmosphere in this place last week. And I'm feeling very much the same this morning. There's something even in our worship this morning where I can't stop smiling. Last week I couldn't stop crying. And today I can't stop smiling. It's something in my heart. I'm so excited for this good news that is Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at that and honoring Jesus. And because I came from, and we said we're moving into a season that for a few Sundays, and hopefully on Wednesdays at the comms, but for a season, we're going to be looking into what does it mean to honor God with? And then there's different things. Honoring God with my marriage. Honoring God with my relationships. Honoring God with my career and my work. Honoring God with my finances, honoring God with my life and my devotion and my serving in church. How do I honor God in all of these different facets of my life? How does it look like? How does it work? And before I wanted to go on to that, I read this scripture and I was reminded of this scripture. And I realized we can't move on these topics if we don't do it the way that the Father wants us to do this. Because there's no honoring God if we don't honor His Son first. So let's read John 5 together. He says, "For just as the Father gives life to those He raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone He wants." Verse 22, "In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, He gives the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent Him." And the Bible is so clear that there's no honoring in our hearts. And I see that often. You might think, "But ons doen dit mos, man," because it. But it's a strange thing that we pick up often, that people, we want to honor the Father, we want to honor God. But it is important for God to honor Him in the right way. Because there's a certain way in which we honor Him. There's a certain way in which we live our lives that is honoring to Him. And we can do it in a lot of good ways. There's a lot of good people out there that doesn't know Jesus. Good people that is also generous, that is also loving other people. There's good people. But God says the only way that you honor me is not living a good life, but it is coming through the door of my Son. And honoring my Son is honoring me, and there's no other way to do that. And I just want to make a quick point, and I'm not going to labor this. I'm not going to look into this too long. But I just want to make this point. Maybe we come from different backgrounds, and often this does not get preached that often, about the fact that there is three people in the Godhead. You know that. We call it the Trinity. Now, although the word Trinity is not in the Bible per se, the word is not, if you Google it, they will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. But the word Trinity means that there is three persons in one, which is God. So God is one, but there is three people that the Bible talks about. It's God the Father, He's the creator of everything, and then there's the Son, Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit. And so the important thing is that sometimes we either mix them up so much that everything is just God, everything is just, there's just God. And then, not wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, because it is like that. There is one God. But what happens is we sometimes miss out on the different roles that they play in our lives. Because God the Father has a specific role in my life. He's got a specific, the way that I relate to Father God might be different than the way that I relate to Jesus, and vice versa. And the Holy Spirit has got a specific role in my life. And it is important for us to understand that there's three. And so I've got this little illustration that I found. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit is all God, but the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father, but they are God in one. And so we don't have to understand how that works. Please don't try and figure it out. The Lord says one day He will show us how all of this fits together. That's not the point. The point that we must know is that we relate to three people. We serve three people. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that God says, you can't honor me if you don't honor my Son. And then in the same way, Jesus then said, I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you the God's Spirit to be with you and to help you in these things. Two verses that I quickly want to just show you that. And I just want to make that, lay this as a foundation. The first one is in Matthew 3. It's where Jesus gets baptized. And it's very clear. You will see it very clearly here. After the baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened up, and He saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove, settling on Him. So there we see a separation. There's a Holy Spirit descending on Jesus that is standing there. And then verse 17, the third person, and a voice from heaven. That was not Jesus speaking to Himself. He didn't have a split personality. It says, verse 17, a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly beloved Son, or loved Son, who brings me great joy. And so we see very clearly the Bible talking about three different persons in that verse. Another one, and this is more about the role. I love how Paul actually describes this different roles that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit plays in. And I don't know, role probably is not the perfect theological word. But you understand what I'm saying. It's more than just a role. You know, we're in a relationship with them, so it's not really a role. But is it okay as ik die woord gebruik? Is it not blasphemy? You say that God plays a role in my life. It feels watered down almost. I play a role in Matthew's life, but God is a lot more than that. Can we give a hand to this man? It was the first time that he actually did worship this morning. Eh? Well done. I spoke to him on Saturday, and midway through our discussion, he says, listen, I need to leave you now because I need to go and practice my guitar. So, Tanya, you go do that. But I want to honor you. Well done for that. That's being intentional. When the Lord gives you a talent and the Lord gives you an opportunity, we be intentional and we do what we can. So well done for that, Matthew. 2 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace means His empowerment. His empowerment to help us. His empowerment to give us strength and to give us an ability that we don't have in ourselves. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see that different roles that Paul is putting there. That there's this loving Father, this Creator that loves us. There's Jesus that had a specific purpose on dying on the cross for us, to enable us, to give us grace and empowerment and the ability to overcome certain things in Him. And then the Holy Spirit that walks with us. You see that? So there is that sense that there is this different roles. That had. So, we're not going to look at the Father. We looked at the Father last week. We're not going to look at the Holy Spirit. That's for another time. We are going to look for the rest of this morning at Jesus. And we're going to put a big old spotlight on the work that Jesus did for us. And I'm not going to go back into what he did. We all know Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was obedient to the Father, and he came to earth and he died on the cross. And it wasn't just the physical pain. I always think there's almost this overemphasis on the physical pain, that Jesus knew that the physical pain is just going to be for a duration. He knew it was only going to be for a limited time. Jesus had full knowledge that about what does it mean, temporary pain versus eternal. He knew all of that. But I think what was a lot more difficult, to be God, to be fully God, and having to go and have all sin, all sickness, all imperfection of this world to come on you in that moment. I think that's something that we in our minds and in our humanity will probably never understand. That part where Jesus actually died and he blew out his last breath and everything was just on him. That moment where, as part of the Trinity, as part of this God, God had to turn his back on him because all of sin, and God being holy and pure. You know, where he says, why have you forsaken me in that moment? Because all of my debt, all of my sin was on Jesus in that moment. And I don't think we'll ever understand what that was like, you know, what that price was that he paid. Being separated from the Father as God. I don't think we'll ever be able to understand that. And I'm going to be one of my first questions to Jesus when I do get my time with him up there. To explain, Lord, how was that, Lord? How did that impact you? And I'm sure he's going to tell that that was probably one of the most difficult. The physical pain was difficult, but I think the spiritual side of that, you know, going into take the keys and all of that stuff. But anyway, let's move on. So you know that Jesus died for our sins, and Jesus paid the price so that you and I can have eternal life and that we can have. But there's a different part to that as well. There is the eternal part. There is the part that Jesus died so that we can spend eternity in the presence of our Father. There is that sense, and we know that, that he paid the price so that we can not die, but that we will live into eternity, not in this body, but you know, in heaven. But there's also a second part where God specifically says, if you want to honor me, honor my Son in this life. While we're still here, while we are walking out this life, which is very much what Shaul did this morning. Shaul honored Jesus by opening up and giving Jesus an opportunity to do something in his life this morning and in his body. He opened up that door to him. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning is that, I just want to see if I'm going to go there. Yeah. Let's quickly do that. John 3, verse 16. Let's just make sure that we do that. For this is how God loved the world, that's God the Father, that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Yeah? Who believes in him and lives for him. And then verse 17, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. And my question to you on that is very simple this morning. Have you been saved by Jesus? It's just a simple question that I want you just to answer in your own heart right now. Have you been saved by Jesus? I'm leaving a bit of time. Just ask that question to yourself. Have you been saved by Jesus? Have you known him? Do you believe in Jesus? Or have you had a moment in your life where you knew I was lost, or I am lost? And then there was a moment where you asked Jesus, Jesus, will you come and save me? And that belief in his ability to save you forever and ever, have you had that moment? Has Jesus saved you in that? That's the first question that I've got for us this morning. John 14 says Jesus, he speaks about himself. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Many people believe that there is a God. but they deny His Son. Many people believe that God exists, but they deny His Son. Many people these days believe that there is a God, one God, is the Muslim God, it's the Christian God, it's the Hindu God, and that we all actually serving the same God. Many people believe that. We believe that there's only one way to the Father, and that is through His Son. And that was also, again, brings out, there's only one way to honor the Father. There's only one way to honor God with our lives, and that is in and through His Son, Jesus. And so now, we're going to be looking, as I said to you last week, is we're going to be looking at different areas in our lives in the coming weeks, different areas in our lives that God speaks in the Bible and God instructs us and God shows us His ways in which to honor Him, honoring Him on our marriages, our finances, and all of the things that I've said already. But this is important for us to begin at the right way and to say, God, the way that I honor You is through Your Son, Jesus. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to honor God in these areas in my life through the person of Jesus? Luke 4, and I actually, before we go to Luke 4, just take it off quickly. Otherwise, the scripture that, do you still have that scripture open? The one that you read about the seals? Sorry, man. You just read this piece of scripture. Kan jy hom weer lees gou?
Speaking about Jesus, né? You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For You were slaughtered and Your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And You have caused them to become a kingdom of priests from our God, and they will reign on the earth.
Sure. There's certain, that speaks about one day when earth has come to a close almost, and we're coming before judgment and all of those things, then there's certain seals that Jesus is the only one that's worthy to open that seals. But I actually want to use that scripture, and if I read too much into that, Craig, you are more than welcome to correct me in that. But I believe from my own experiences and from the way that I've experienced Jesus, that there's certain seals in my own life, certain envelopes, certain areas in my life that is closed when I meet Jesus for the first time. It's certain rooms, we spoke about it a few weeks ago. There's certain rooms, there's certain areas in my life that Jesus doesn't have full access. That's a beautiful word, well done. Access to. But the room is still filled with a lot of different things. Sometimes that room is filled with hurt. Sometimes that room is still filled with some brokenness of experiences that happened to me. Sometimes the room is filled with flesh and sin and some things that in me that shouldn't be there, and some impurities and some character that God wants. And so, you know who's got the authority and the ability to open up those seals and to break those seals? Because a seal is that. It's something that closes an envelope. It's the king's seal. It's something that is closed, and only the king, the one that bears the, normally it's a ring, that bears that seal, has the authority, the permission to open up that. And in our lives, we can do it in a lot of different ways. But one of the most beautiful ways in which we honor the Son and then honor the Father is allowing Him to open up those doors, to open up those seals in our lives, and bring Him and give Him access to say, Jesus, come into this area because I need You in this area. And so when we are going to look, it's going to be a challenging season for many of us. But if we are like Shaul this morning, we'll give Jesus that opportunity to step into those areas. Because if we give Him that opportunity, there's going to be change. But we can also resist Him. We can also, no, sorry, Lord. And so when we're going to talk about, so for instance, next week, we're going to be talking about marriages. And we're going to look at how do we honor God through our marriages. And it's going to be an opportunity, for many of us, it's going to be an opportunity that if there is an area in your marriage, there's an opportunity for you to open up the door and to give Jesus access and to give Him an opportunity to work into your marriage. But you can also decide to opt out. You can also decide to keep that door closed to Him. You can also decide to resist Him. That's going to be up to you. But I promise you, you will not receive healing like Charlotte received healing this morning if you don't give him that opportunity. And so my encouragement to you is this morning is I almost want to, you know, stir the pot a little bit. I want to create an expectation to say this is going to be a season where Jesus is able to work in your life if you give him that opportunity to do so. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And it's so easy that we look at that piece of scripture and we think about the world, we think about the lost, we think about them. But that scripture very much is for us. That scripture very much is for you and for me. I need the good news just as much as the world needs the good news today. I need to trust and believe that Jesus is good news in my life just as much as the world. Because, and the first thing is, and I'm actually made a note of it, one of the first things that will work against the working of Jesus in my life in this next season, in the coming weeks, is probably going to be pride. Thinking that, no, I'm okay. Thinking that, no, I don't really need. If we want to honor Jesus, we will put pride aside and we will allow him to speak into these areas. And that's the first thing. Jesus can be good news, but only if you regard yourself as poor. If you have the humility to know that I've got weaknesses in me, that in myself I will never be able to do certain things. But in Jesus and through Jesus and allowing him to do certain things, then I will be able to make a success or be in a marriage that honors God in that way. But do you regard yourself as poor this morning? Do you? Ask yourself that question. Do you regard yourself as weak in areas? Do you believe that you need Jesus this morning? Because when that opportunity is going to come and there's going to be a time of response, are you going to sit down or are you going to reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you in my marriage. I need you in my finances. I need you in this area, whatever that morning is going to be about. The second one is to proclaim that captives will be released. Jesus is the only one that can set you free if there's an area that you are captive in. If there's an area of hurt or maybe something in your life that is keeping you captive, that is making you unable to run in the freedom that God has for you. Jesus is the only one that can bring you freedom in that area. The blind to see. Do you believe that you've got blind spots in your own life? What's a blind spot? It's something that you don't see yourself. It's a sin, a character, a flaw, something in your life that you just can't see yourself. And your wife has been nagging about it for months and months and years, and still you don't see it. It's a grappie, hulle moet nou lag. So, it's thanks, Jillian. But slow, but do you believe that? Because often we so, again, pride comes in the way of Jesus' ability to do something in us. I believe I can see all things, and niemand is ek het nog self, I'm not convicted in it. But sometimes there's a blind spot. And so are you going to be open in this season that when Jesus shows you a blind spot about yourself, and it's like, oh, is that me? Are you going to be open to him to make you to give you that eyes, to see the way that he sees it? And will you be able to respond in that? Being oppressed, I had two conversations this morning, and sometimes it's not always sin. It's not always something that I'm doing wrong. Often the enemy comes, and the enemy wants to destroy and to steal. I had two conversations this morning about finances, just struggling in this season. A lot of stuff just coming at the same time, and no break your car, and no break that, and no break that, and suddenly everything is under fire. And so often there's times of oppression. And do you believe that Jesus is the one that can actually break that oppression over you, whatever the attack of the enemy is, and that when we come to him and we say, Jesus, I need your help, I need you. We spoke last week about the verse in Psalm where God says, I will raise my voice over you like thunder. And we had the thunder that we had last week. You remember that? They were so impactful to me. You know, the way that God speaks thunder out over our lives is through His Son, Jesus. There's not a more powerful thunder than when God speaks life over us than when He does it through His Son, Jesus, into our lives. Are we open to that in this season? Are we going to give Him that opportunity to do that in our lives? Is it good? So there's seals. 25 minutes. I'm doing so well, Craig. Ek is so trots op myself. Ek my 40. Tannie Linda was hier gewees. Elke Sondag het ek gepreek vir 'n uur lank. Ja, het was die arme mense het later aan gesweet en die helfte van hulle moes toilet toe gegaan het halfpad. En toe het Andrew vir ons begin leer, half uur preke, dan weet jy, I'm doing a lot better than that. I'm going to end off. Ek is so trots op die Here. We can all... Ja. Andrew sticks, but if you've got the anointing, you've got the anointing. I just don't have it. So I'll stick to the 30-35 minutes. I want to end it off. Ons gaan nou kom by die landing. I don't know why, but the Lord keeps bringing me back to this thing of idols with us. I don't know why, and you're probably going to tell me I'm a plaat wat vashak. It's a gramophone plaat. This is in Willem. There's other things as well. It's not just idols. There's other things as well. But it's almost every time when I prepare a preach, every time when I pray, every time, I'm coming back to idols. And there's something in me that believes that one of the things, it's not always just, I mentioned pride just now, but one of the things that so often keep us from the ability to open up ourselves to the Lord and let the Lord work in us is idols. And idols sometimes is not just as easy as turning my back on an idol and walking the other way. Sometimes an idol has a specific role in my life. Sometimes an idol has this way where I've kind of partnered with my idol a little bit because it gives me something back. My idol sometimes gives me a bit of comfort. My idol sometimes gives me a little bit of whatever it might be. And sometimes an idol plays a specific role in my life. And when it comes to that point, and you have to say goodbye to your idol, and you have to choose that unknown of letting Jesus now come and fill a space, it's difficult. It's difficult. But I feel that this is a season where the Lord wants to come, and I feel that this is a season where the Lord wants to work through and specifically let some idols fall in our lives. Now, what's an idol? What's an idol? Ek het dit nou al genoeg gesê, julle moet nou al weet. What's an idol? Jaleen, what's an idol? Beautiful. You see, that's like off my notes. Well done. Anything in your life that takes the place of Jesus can become an idol. Anything in your life, and that's why I say, sometimes it's not just sin. Sometimes it's not just gambling. It's become an idol in my life, or pornography has become an idol. Sometimes it's something soothing, me time. For me, one of the things that I have to guard against constantly is my me time, my off time. That it doesn't become something that, because my me time always grows. I set aside for myself 1 hour in the evenings, it's going to be me time. When I look at my watch, it's been 2 hours. When you know, and then over 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months, 4 months, suddenly I've got 4 hours. By 8 o'clock, it's like, is the kinders in the bed because it's me time again, you know? And suddenly, it's always something that I have to guard against, that my me time doesn't become my thing. And then when God wants to do something else on a Thursday evening or on a Tuesday evening, it's like, oh, but what about my me time? And if I don't get my me time, I'm going to be grumpy for the rest of the week and I'm going to be out of sync with. So for me, it's me time. But there's a lot of other things. Relationships. Relationships can become an idol in our lives when it's becoming an unhealthy thing. When that person takes a place that actually Jesus should be taking place. So, when you find yourself, and please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying having good relationships that we are able to talk through things with, that we can sometimes have discussions with, and we can process things with, that's amazing, important. We can't go without that. But if we never talk to God and we only talk to people, it becomes an idol. When we only can relate to people and we always need that klankbord, what is it? Soundboard, where people kind of give us something back. And I only feel relief, or I feel a relief of something when I have a con, and I don't get that from God, then it takes a place where Jesus should be taking place. So relationships. Can I go through my list? I'm gonna go on, because we're gonna talk about finances at some point. How do I honor God with my finances? So if there is that sense that there is an idol in your life with finances, materialism. I'm working because I want the money because I want to buy my next car at the end of the year. I want my money. I want to work because I need the money because I want to, every year I want to have a new kitchen remake or redo or whatever the case may be. And so sometimes money can become a tool to say, and then have you ever heard about shoes? But retail therapy is the word. Retail therapy, the minute that you give out money, and it's true. I see it every week with my wife. Ekterg. Jillian, you know ekterg, ne? Julle weet mos nou al in hierdie tyd. Ekterg. But it's a truth that sometimes when we spend money, when we sometimes there's a concern, and when we spend money on that concern, it alleviates some of that pressure. It alleviates some of that anxiety. And sometimes the Lord says money is not the solution. Throwing money is almost like our government, throwing money at the problem, you know, borrowed money for that matter. Yeah, but it's like money doesn't solve everything. Sometimes we shouldn't be fixing problems with money, because then that becomes a thing in its own. Sometimes money problems need to be fixed by Jesus. Does it make sense? And so I remember I once, and Sean Saul corrected me on that. We preached about tithing and giving your tithe to the Lord and giving to the Lord. And I said the following. I said, you do what you need to do. And if you come short at the end of the month, you come to me and we will help you out. But in my love, you know, I just thought I wanted to give people that freedom. And Sean Saul came to me and he said, hey, you can't take the place of God. He's the provider, not you. You can't tell that to people. And I repented of it and I said, Lord, let me never take the space of you. But that's often how we want to do. We want to sometimes throw money at something that actually Jesus should be filling that gap, not us in that sense. And so when we're going to talk about that, if there's an idol of materialism, if money is an idol in your life, Craig gaan preek oor finances tot die spoegspat en hy's blou in die gesig. If that idol doesn't fall, whatever he teaches you will fall on dead soil before that idol doesn't fall. And it's important that we go there. Career. Sometimes our careers... ek het nog 4 minute, 4 minutes. Sometimes our careers can be that thing that drives us. That is this thing that brings us to a place where it becomes unhealthy, where it becomes an idol. Then we struggle to find our balance. Because everything just gets poured out into your 8-to-5. And by the time that Willem comes and say, hey, I want you to please, man, I feel so, there's gifting on your life. And do you want to come and serve the church with it? And it's just like, no, bro, I've got nothing left. It's like, you don't, and it's not always the case. Oh, we need our jobs, and God does provide our jobs. But when the balance becomes out of sync, when we come home in the evenings, and man, your career seep all life out of you, and your kid wants to come and sit on your lap, and you said, "Ni no, ni papa's moeg." Huh? When it comes to that point, it's that's when Jesus needs to come and say, "Hey, I want to bring balance in this area," because maybe there is that thing where that become an idol. Substance abuse. Substance abuse can become an idol in your life. For many years, and most of you know that for many years, I drank too much alcohol. Because it helped me on a Friday evening and on a Saturday. It helped me to calm an anxiety, a stress that was in me that I could not sort out on my own. And the only way that I had this sense of relief, where it was this one time in the week where I can drop my shoulders and I felt, I can breathe again. It was the only time when I felt that is when I was drinking. And the Lord came and the Lord said, hey, the alcohol is taking a place. That should actually be me that gives you that, I can breathe again. When you spend time in my presence, I should be the one that relieves stress, that relieves pressure, that lowers your anxiety. It shouldn't be a substance. And a lot of us struggle with substances that should actually be taking Jesus. And it's not just cigarettes and what's all the things, and alcohol and drugs. Even, we've said it, social media. Have you felt the dopamine rush? Well, you don't feel it. It's actually just as I think that's probably what it goes under the radar so often. When you go through your Facebook and you scroll and you scroll, or you go on your Instagram and there's these videos that come up, and suddenly when you look up again, 1 hour has passed. But as you're doing it, there's almost like you feel relaxed. You almost feel, I want to do this just for a little bit longer. It's because there's dopamine that's being released. That videos that we're watching, that as we go onto social media, when you see how many likes your last post on Facebook got, it releases something in you that brings something in you that actually should be filled by Jesus. And so even our social media, our cell phones, can become an idol in that way. And Jesus says, I want to take. So when we say honoring God with our life, that we're also going to be looking at, and that we're going to be looking at substances. We're going to be looking at what's the thing that calms your nerves. What is the thing, the main thing in your life that calms your nerves? Maybe a bicycle. Now, again, I'm not saying bicycles is wrong. Exercise, the Bible even says that exercise is good for the body. But when the minute that takes the place of Jesus, it becomes something that the enemy can work with. And the last thing that I want to do, and then I'm finished, is my role in church. If we want to honor Jesus, we will always have a role in church and a serving in church that we're serving Him for Him. You know that a lot of times we can serve in church for the wrong reasons. We can serve in church and we can run flat out for the church for the wrong reasons. That sometimes it comes from a place of wanting to be seeking significance. It can be a place of, you know, having a gap, a void in my life, and I find it suddenly serving in the church. And I don't do it for Jesus. I don't do it. I do it for being, you know, in the spotlight or whatever the case may be. And sometimes the enemy can use that. So even our serving in church. And so when we look at honoring Jesus and honoring God with our lives within the church, it's important to ask the Lord, Lord, why am I doing it? What is the reason why I serve in church? What is the reason why is there something in me that sometimes make me run harder than I should? Maybe I'm looking for approval. Maybe it is that. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe there's something where I'm doing, you know, so doing things for Jesus. Maybe there's, I'm not going into the details of that. So I really feel that this is going to be a season where we're going to look, each one of us, at some point, I'm telling you now, if not every Sunday, one of us at some point is going to be challenged. And I want to encourage you this morning, when the time comes for you to respond, won't you open that door to Jesus? Won't you say, Jesus, I know this is going to be hard. I know, Lord Jesus, you are rattling something in me. I can feel the resistance. I can feel it. But won't you be open to that? Because I'm telling you, at the end of whatever the process the Lord is taking you on, and whatever it is that Jesus, there's an honoring of Jesus and allowing Him to do certain things in you. And once He's done that, He gives us the promise that the work that He has started in you, that He will complete that. And He promised us that it will be a work that will last forever. And that's what my expectation is. Don't you want to just, I want to give that song that we spoke about. Joy shared a song on our group this morning, on the elders group this morning, and I just felt, if there's one response that I feel that we can do, it is to surrender and submit ourselves this morning to the Lord. Not to me or to anything, and I'm not going to call anybody out. We're not going to pray for you, But I do feel there's an opportunity through these words of the song just to say, Lord Jesus, I want to make room for you in this next season. I want to surrender and I want to lay down that when you do come on that Sunday or that Wednesday or that Tuesday, whenever the Lord comes in this season. But Jesus, when you do come with your good news, when you do come with your love that loves me, that wants to free me of certain things, that wants certain idols in my life to fall, that we are ready to respond to Jesus. Is that good? Is that okay? So we're going to just stand with me and we're going to sing this song.
Tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake down the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground. Shake up the ground of all my
thank you, Lord, that your way is better, Lord. Help us to lay idols down and open up every room and give you access to every aspect of our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us help each other as well, identify blind spots and hold each other accountable. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Willem. That was a lovely, challenging word. That's just an encouragement to each of us in terms of how we respond to this, is just in our own devotional times, is really to seek the Lord and to see what those things are that we turn to. What are those crutches or idols that we turn to, and what areas are we not giving the Lord full access to, and to bring those to our community as well, so that we can help each other through this, so that we can be accountable to each other. Amen. All right.